Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, today in part three of our series for Sales for the CEO or CEO Sales, we're going to talk about the first call. We've talked about the pre-planning process, and now we're going to talk about the first call, your the agenda for your first call, and why that is so important based upon your pre-call analysis. As I always like to say, sales isn't about brain surgery. It is about practicing the best practices and doing the best practices. Most of all, it's about understanding your customers' needs and how your product, good, or service will meet their needs. It is so important. So you have their needs, you have the features of your product, good, or service that will meet those needs. And then, of course, there's the benefits to them. As my good friend Paul likes to say, he always likes to talk about features and functionality. Same thing. So let's jump right into it. So just to do a quick review, we've talked about the pre-call analysis. And the pre-call analysis is very, very important simply because what you want to do, you want to be able to develop a sales hypothesis. With that sales hypothesis, you want to be able to show the customer that you have a fundamental understanding of their business, as well as an understanding of how your product, good, or service is going to meet their particular needs. So as we look at the pre-call analysis, it's about understanding what are your objectives for the call. Based upon what you know right now, what are their current needs that they have? What are their interests that they have? From there, what do you feel your value proposition is or will be for them based upon your product, good, or service? And what are some of the vulnerabilities? What is the SWOT analysis of your product, good, or service as compared to your competition? Where do you stand in regards to your competitor, is their product better? Is their product inferior? If their product is inferior, does it cost less? And so this is where it's important for you to really understand the value of your product, good, or service, and how you're going to deliver your service to them. Now, with all of this information, the last but not least thing, if your product, good, or service requires internal support regarding setting it up, regarding installing it, regarding servicing it, you want to make sure that you and your colleagues are fully aligned on how this product, good, or service is going to be serviced. And that's very important that you make sure you line up your colleagues right away. So now that you have this information, you're now developing your sales hypothesis. Okay, what is a sales hypothesis? A sales hypothesis is based upon the information that you have and what you know about this customer. They have this specific need, and your product, good, or service, the features will meet this need. And then, of course, there will be a resulting benefit to your client. Now, when we look at the agenda, we want to keep the agenda very, very, very simple. And with the agenda, we want to have four parts. We want to have introductions, just in case if you've never met, give you some time to establish rapport. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You want to get information about them. So this is where you're asking them some very good probing questions to give you information about their company, about what their needs are. Then you want to give them information about your product, good, or service. That's the third bullet point. The fourth bullet point is discussion and next steps. If your agenda goes beyond 4 points, I will be happy to talk with you about why your agendas are going past 4 points. Because the majority of the time of these four agenda points, you really want your prospect, your client, your prospect to be doing most of the talking. It is the 70-30 rule where they're talking 70% of the time and you're talking 30% of the time. Okay, so with that agenda, now we're going to focus on the various components within those 4 points. So we have our agenda, we have our opening statement, our opening benefit statement, and I'm going to walk you through that. I want you to think about what are the 3 or 4 key questions that you can ask that is going to generate considerable information. You want to make sure that you are asking what I like to call higher level questions. What is a higher level question? A higher level question has several components to it. Number one, it does not contain any information on their website, any basic fundamental information on their website. It is a strategic question. A strategic question that the customer will have to ask you, will have to answer it with an explanation. They won't be able to give you a yes or shouldn't, or yes or no answer, depending upon the question, right? You want to make sure that the question is providing you information to support your hypothesis. Or no, let's just say not to support your hypothesis, to qualify your hypothesis. You want questions that are going to go beyond what's on their website. And this is where it is so important to understand body language when you're in a call, whether you're on the phone, whether you're on a video call, or whether you're face-to-face, because there are things that you will be able to discern that will give more information about their particular answer. Also, now that we've talked about the questioning strategy, and there's a whole seminar about questions, how to ask questions and how to utilize questions effectively in a call. The next thing we want to do, based upon our sales hypothesis, is to understand if they were to move forward with us, how much will our product, good, or service cost them? Which leads to a very important question to make sure that they have the appropriate budget. Now, what might happen, which happens a lot of times, which I do counsel my CEO clients on, is that sales and the consultative sales process typically take 3 to 6 months to happen. And the big if there, it's if it is within someone's budget cycle. Now, someone might not have the budget for this year, but you want to make sure that you position yourself for next year. However, there are times where people do find money that they haven't used in their budget to purchase your product, good, or service. But you want to make sure that upfront, at some point in that first call, you do ask the question in regards to have they set aside budget for this particular item for that. So with that pricing review, after that, you want to anticipate what objections that you might come across. Objections that the client might have about your product, good or service, or you don't want them to have any objections about your company. You don't want them to have any objections about you. You don't want to have any objections that are things that you are definitely in control about. And you always want to make sure that with these objections that you have worked out what you feel is a reasonable response. Not that you don't want to come off defensive, you want to come off factual. And so with this, we have, you know, to complete your pre-call planner so that you are structuring your call. So let's review the pre-call analysis. You want to make sure that you understand what are your objectives for this account. You want to make sure that you have a firm understanding of their needs and interests. You want to make sure that you have clearly outlined what your value proposition is for this client. You want to make sure that you understand what your competitive position is, who your competitors are, what is their SWOT analysis, what is your SWOT analysis. You want to make sure that you have identified the internal support that you need to fulfill this order for your product, good, or service that you will sell. Okay, now you want to establish your agenda. As I said, the agenda should have 4 points. Introductions, that's agenda point number one. Agenda point number two is an overview of their company. This is where you're getting information about them. They're giving you information about their situation. Agenda point number three, this is where you give an overview of your product. And based upon their needs, you're sharing information about your product, good, or service that has the following features that will meet their needs. And then, of course, you want to be able to articulate the benefit to them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. You want to make sure that you have developed your opening benefit statement, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. You want to make sure that you have developed a very comprehensive but succinct questioning strategy of what I like to call higher level question. And higher level questions, as I said, it's a question that is not basic. It's a question that you're not asking about something that is on their website. You want to ask a question that takes information off of their website, but you ask them to go deeper about a particular area. You want to make sure that the question is strategic, focusing on how your product, good, or service is going to meet their needs with your features and what the benefits are to them. You want to make sure that this question qualifies your sales hypothesis. And also, you want to make sure that your question goes beyond the obvious. So that is your questioning strategy. Now, the pricing review. You want to understand, if they were to purchase your product, good, or service, how much would this cost them? And think about what will be the benefit to them. What is the ROI for them? Think about your company. Think about how your company is going to benefit from this sale. You want to make sure that this sale represents the best interest of your company. You want the sale to have an ROI for your company as well. Last but not least, what does it mean to you within your sales incentive plan? How will you and your family benefit from this sale? Because here you see the significance and the importance of you understanding how it in this triangle of the customer, the client, and yourself, how everybody wins. And you want it to be a win-win-win. Okay. We want to make sure that you anticipate objections and anticipate objections so that you will come off very sincere, you'll come off trustworthy, and that you're a trusted advisor. If your product doesn't do something, be very clear and very plain about it. Well, we don't particularly do that at this point, but let's focus on what it does, what it does do, and what it will do for you, Mr. Client. Now, also, with this information that we've completed in our pre-call planner, now we're ready to move to the next phase of having our first meeting with our client. There are many ways to have meetings with clients these days. I have been doing online meetings since 2007 because during my time at Collexis as the EVP CMO, our budget was tight. We were a startup and we used GoToMeeting all the time for every discussion for that. I remember we traveled one time to Alabama for a meeting that was with a group of librarians at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. But we were very successful selling online. But this process that we're talking about today, it works over the phone, it works over video, and of course, it works in person because the mechanics are the same. So let's look at the best practices of having a very solid meeting with that four-point agenda that we talked about. So we talked about in the opening for the first meeting, having a greeting, and then also establishing a rapport. And we're going to talk about how do you establish rapport in a 30-minute meeting or less or longer meeting. And so we want to make sure that we have a benefit value statement. And we're going to talk about that in a second. We want to establish common ground with your client. And then you want to, of course, confirm the objective of the meeting, confirm the agenda, and the time frame. And when we say confirm the time, it's making sure that you still have the allotted time that was discussed in your phone call, in your email that said, oh, we can meet for 30 minutes, we can meet for 45 minutes. Sometimes things come up. And when those things come up, you want to make sure that you adjust your agenda and presentation to the time that they have. You might have had an hour, but something might have come up in their environment where they're not able to give you the entire hour. They're going to give you 30 minutes. Sometimes it's even shorter, but this is where you have to be able to be flexible. As we say, to be able to flex. So interesting enough, within my BMKT 4629 professional selling course at Seton Hall University, my colleague and I, John Hoffman, my former colleague, John, has passed away, God bless his soul. He and John and I have been working together since 1993, and unfortunately, last fall of September of 2021, he passed away after his battle with cancer. So you might hear me say we quite a bit because we've been working together all these years, and I still feel that John is with me. We always want to make sure that you go into these meetings with always the best intentions, the best body posture. Even when you're on the phone, you want to have good posture. So the case study that we've been using all these years is from Elsevier. And we have the Princeton Library, who the library director there, Ms. Ann Jarvis, is looking to subscribe to ScienceDirect for the first time. She has heard about Harvard and Yale signing up for ScienceDirect. And she has gotten a lot of inquiries from her faculty asking her about what's going on with Princeton getting science right. So in this call, this case study that we have, Ms. Jarvis has just come back from Hawaii. She was there for a ALA conference, but also she competed in a triathlon while she was there, and she's back. But she has requested a meeting with you today, and she's given you 30 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you an example of a very good opening. Ms. Jarvis, thank you for welcoming me down to Princeton to talk about Science Direct. I appreciate your time today, and welcome back from your holiday. I understand that you had a great holiday, that you were at Hawaii. How did it go? And of course, Ms. Jarvis will answer. Depending upon how she answers, we might go a little bit deeper and ask her, well, how, I understand you did a triathlon. How did you do? Is this your first one? If her body language and her response is not too open or friendly, then of course we want to transition to the benefit value statement. And the transition that we use, well, Ms. Jarvis, I want to thank you for your time today. By the end of our call today, it is my intention and hope that you will have a firm understanding of how Science Direct will directly benefit Princeton University, your researchers, your faculty, and your students. To help us to manage our time, I've prepared a short agenda. And short agenda would be, I'd like to understand a little bit more about your needs here at Princeton. I like to share some information about Science Direct and answer any questions that you have there. And then, of course, have a discussion and next steps. How is that agenda to you, Ms. Jarvis? And normally she'll respond, oh, that is a great agenda. Always ask, is there anything else that you would like to add to the agenda, Ms. Jarvis? Nope. I just want to learn about Science Direct. Okay. And at that point, that is at the time where I want to make sure, do we still have 30 minutes today? And she'll say, yes, we still have 30 minutes. Or she might say, no, I have less time, or I have more time. So that is where you have seen the opening. And the opening, again, is having a good greeting, established rapport. The rapport building came in to me asking about how her vacation was, how was her triathlon. And then I gave her the benefit value statement. By the end of today's call, it is my hope and expectation that you will have a firm understanding about how Science Direct can directly benefit Princeton, your students, and your researchers. So through that value statement, I'm letting her know how we're spending our time and what's going to be the benefit to her. And through the rapport building, we're establishing that common ground. And then with my review of the agenda and getting her confirmation, I'm confirming the objective along with the time frame. And then, of course, once we go through that opening, and then we start to ask, so Ms. Jarvis, can you tell me a little bit more about how research is conducted here at Princeton University? Now, you'll see here that question that I've asked is a higher level question, because I can read about how much grant money that Princeton gets, but I want to understand their process, because currently their process, the researchers are in a print environment. They're not in a digital environment, which means that they subscribe to mostly maybe one copy of each journal, which means that only one person can see it at a time, which means that the research process is going to be delayed quite a bit, simply because if I'm waiting for this other gentleman, researcher who has the journal, I have to wait, which means I have to research or read other journals, but it might not be the particular article that I want to read for that. So that's the higher level question that we talked about. Now, within this case study, you know, what could be another great question for Ms. Jarvis to have to answer? Currently, what are some of the concerns raised by faculty and the fellow students about not having Science Direct? Again, question that is asking her to stipulate why she called you down here to Princeton University to discuss Science Direct. You know, in looking at what are the current hours of the library, if the current hours of the library, some libraries have had to, before Science Direct, had to extend their hours simply because to give students more time to get access to the materials. So what we're doing is that we're building a very successful case as to why Princeton should have Science Direct. It is very obvious, but you don't want to assume the obvious. You want to make sure that you're establishing their needs. A, questions that reflect that they have a need for digital products, not just Science Direct, but other digital products. Another building block is understanding students' access to this information, how a digital access to Science Direct will provide them with much more time to do this research within the confines of the library, of their dorm, or wherever their laptop is connected to. Three, most important, is that many people will be able to access the same journal article at the same time, thereby eliminating the clog of research. The clog of research meaning where it's only one copy and only one person can see it at a time. It's going to make everybody much more efficient and effective in their research, which means that Princeton will be able to apply for more grants more effectively for that. Okay, so as we've looked at this area of the pre-call analysis and also the opening of the call, these are very important basic fundamentals. These very important basic fundamentals always carry the day. Too often times, I see it every day where I'll have a salesperson call on me or I'm working with one of my clients, one of my new clients, where I'm making sure that they're inputting the pre-call analysis, that they're establishing a clear agenda for their meetings, and that they have clearly understood what their sales hypothesis is for their particular prospects, so that they will have the best chance of not only making the best impression, but making sure that folks realize that they have invested time with a professional, a professional who really understands their business, a professional who can be that trusted advisor, a professional who looks for the win-win-win, the win for the client, the win for the company, and the win for themselves. Well, it's been my pleasure to talk to you about the pre-call analysis and the first call in this series, part three of Sales for CEO in CEO Sales. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. If you've missed any part of this show, you can catch the podcast up on Podbean. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. But remember, leadership begins with you.